help and our only expectation be in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever and who never forsaketh the words of his own hands. Amen. Congregation, let us continue this worship service by singing Psalm 43, the stanzas 1 and 5. Psalm 43, the stanzas 1 and 5. Second letter of the Apostle Peter, chapter 2, but first we will confess our faith with the verse of the 12 articles. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We repeat the scripture reading in 2 Peter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turn the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver a just lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day unto day with their unlawful deeds. And the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishness, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease them, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, as hearts they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages and unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the matters of the prophet. And these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, and then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mare. So far the scripture reading. Congregation, let us pray together. Lord, when we think about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, let it be with humbleness and reverence, because there is no difference between our country and Sodom and Gomorrah. O Lord, let us preach thy word according to thy will, and by thy Holy Spirit open our hearts for thy word, and thy word for our hearts. And we need thy attendance, O Lord. We need thy spirit, we need thy intervention in Christ to be saved, not only to be saved, but also to be a witness before thee. O Lord, we need an application of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus to be saved. And reveal thyself to us in this evening in thy begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord, look upon us in Christ and take away our sins and unbelief, that we may become what we are, lost sinners, ready for the fire. And that our old man may die, because our carnal nature in Adam don't honor thee. Lord, revive thy people, revive us if we belong to thee, and give a national revival, for it is more than time to work. But without thy spirit, the preaching will be nothing else than empty words. O Lord, be with us in this evening hour. Touch people in their hearts, that they may become to the knowledge, that they may become witnesses of thee, that may know the knowledge of Christ by faith alone. O Lord, be with thy people around the world. Bring them together in the holy communion of saints. And that can be together if there is also a long distance in between. O Lord, thy spirit is everywhere. And that we may come in a holy communion before thee, in a daily prayer. O Lord, it is more than time to work, because the world is going down, and it is our guilt, but that they may increase thy kingdom among the Jews, among the heathen, and that we may rejoice in thee. O Lord, be with us all the days of our life. In this time of judgment, in this time of evil, O Lord, Sodom and Gomorrah are still alive, because the world is going down, but also the religious churches are going down, because they accept terrible sins, O Lord, in politics and in the churches. But we cannot stand before thee, O Lord. We left thee, and we can only expect terrible punishment if we don't return to the Lord. O Lord, let us return to thee as a nation, because we are called Israel of the West, the Dutch people. But now we live in terrible sin, O Lord, and we accept as a nation terrible sins, and we make a different laws for it, O Lord, that we may return to thee, and that the preachers may go into the streets to preach Jesus Christ, him crucified. O Lord, revive us for thy sake alone. Amen. As a preparation for the preaching, first we will sing Psalm 91, the verses 2, 3, and 4. Psalm 91, the verses 2, 3, and 4.
Since you
Beloved, with the help of the Lord, we have to come to the happening of God's righteous judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sins and gruesome iniquities through destruction with fire from heaven. And we have preached it in Dutch, but we think about it in English because it is an important, very important happening. God is coming to judgment. He comes to judge the people, arrayed in truth and equity. Righteous shall his judgment be. Yeah, Lot lived in Sodom, but he tormented his righteous soul day by day. Therefore it says, for the righteous man, through seeing and hearing, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul day after day with their lawless work. But it was his own choice of Lot to live there. And the fruits were so bitter. If you go your own way, the fruits are always bitter. Look to Jonah. And Lot warned was a witness also in Sodom. He warned the inhabitants of Sodom, but he was as lying in their eyes. And however, it was the way that he had to go, and Lot went on the narrow way, just through Sodom. Yeah, through Sodom. And Abram went also on the narrow way, but for our understanding, more in God's favor. When God paid a visit to Abram in the figure of a man, and two other men were present, God disclosed his counsel to Abram. Abram and Sarah will get a son, but Sarah laughed at the message. A God-fearing woman. And she laughed about the message that the Lord have said. Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And at the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And the man rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. And Abram went with them and bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abram that thing which I do? And then the Lord announced to Abram the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, but Abram stood yet before the Lord. And there Abram make his supplication for preservation of Sodom. And that's quite something. And who beseeches God for the preservation of such a wicked city? Now Abram did. Because he was no better. Abram had self-knowledge. He was no better of the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. But there was another thing. Lot lived in Sodom. That was his brother in Christ. And the Lord was determined to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and to wipe them off the face of the earth. But Abram had love for his nephew. Real love. Real love. Abram remembered Lot. And Abram didn't remember Sodom. No, Abram remembered Lot in Sodom. And he beseeches the Lord, peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city, and wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Now what a plea, wasn't it? Now Abram stands in the breach of his beloved nephew and brother in Christ. Abram goes on, he blames the Lord with a holy liberty. And does holy liberty exist? Yes, for sure. There is such a thing. For Abram didn't pray for himself. No, Abram pleaded for his neighbor. And do you also do this, beloved? When one of your friends has got into difficulties, do you pray for them? Do you plead for them? And maybe himself was to be blamed. Do you also plead for him then? Abram did. He pleaded for his nephew Lot, who lived in Sodom, the wicked city. That was his own choice, but Abram pleaded for him. But he didn't take his place. Abram couldn't. That is what the Lord Jesus did, and nobody else. For the Lord Jesus have said, "If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way." Yeah, Christ didn't only love his children, but he also bought them with his blood, with the highest price of his blood. He suffered himself to be cursed on the shameful cursed tree because of God's wrath against sin. And he was made sin, Christ was made sin instead of the people whose freedom he requires from the Father, with his own sacrifice. For what Abram couldn't do, Christ could. Abram pleaded, but Christ demands. And with that he frees his people through his pleadings, because he is the security who pleads and demands. He is the mediator who pleads and demands. Just read Psalm 2, in which the Father orders his Son to ask that he had given him. That is divine harmony. Because there it says, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." Now Abram couldn't do this, but he could plead with an holy liberty. And he didn't prescribe what the Lord should do, no. But he called upon God's attribute of justice. He says, "That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And do you know what Abram thought? He thought that God didn't remember Lot in Sodom. But those thoughts were not God's thoughts. He testifies, the Lord testifies in his word, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." Now Abram's liberty is also accompanied by humility. For he asked humbly if the Lord will spare Sodom for the sake of 10 people. And Abram started his supplication with 50, for 50 people. And with 10, the Lord finished his conversation with Abram. And the Lord had answered Abram's prayer, but in his own way, not in Abram's way. For God has not destroyed Sodom for the sake of the 10 righteous people, for there were not 10. There were not even 10. Perhaps only one, and that was Lot, who was saved from Sodom. And God's word says of Lot, that he had agonized his righteous soul from day to day. Can we say that too? Because we lived in a wicked world. The sin of Sodom and Gomorrah all over the place. And Lot agonized his righteous soul from day to day. Because he was justified by the Lord. And then things are not so good. For he saw the crying unrighteousness, and this agonized Lot, because he had a soul that feared the Lord. And when you fear the Lord, then you hate sin. But Lot, what are you doing in Sodom anyway? Why don't you get out? Now, if it had been up to Lot, then he might have left long before already. But he got sons and daughters there, and they had married Sodomites, so he couldn't leave them. No, he couldn't let them go. But God could deliver Lot, for God sent two angels, ministering spirits to protect God's people from the enemies of God and his people. And those two angels belonged to the men who visited Abram too. The Lord was among them in the figure of a man, and the two angels also looked like men. And in the evening those angels came to Sodom, for it became night for Sodom, real night. And therefore it says, and remember, beloved, there is a real night coming over the world. There is a real night coming over the world. The Lord is coming to judge the quick and the dead. And therefore it says that they came in the evening, and it was the last day for Sodom and its inhabitants. But Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. Maybe Lot was the mayor, I don't know. He didn't sit there alone. No, all the elders of the town were there in the gate. And those Sodomites had also seen the men coming who appeared to be angels. There are many people who don't believe that the Lord sent out his angels to the earth to protect his people. My beloved, concerning Reverend Smitegeld, it is known that people had threatened to murder him. At any rate, there was a plot to murder this God-fearing minister. But on the spot where the crime was to be carried out, the attacker saw that Reverend Smitegeld was not alone. Two men were with him. God protected his child and servant, for the murderers couldn't do anything. There were two angels. And not long ago we have heard from a minister who had two students in his college who didn't believe anymore in the service of the angels. But when the two of them drove home, the two students drove home, they were stopped by a man who asked, "May I have a ride to the next crossing?" The students allowed him in, and then he warned them, and the man said, "It will be dangerous on the next crossing." And the three of them neared the crossing, and there came a truck that served into their lane, and they could just avoid a fatal accident. And when they had scarcely recovered from the fright, they looked round to thank the stranger who had been sitting on the back seat of the car, but the back seat was empty. And in this way they experienced that God only has to command his angels and they go where God wants to them too. And it is also their will, the will of the angels, for they are holy angels who always seek to glorify God also by executing God's judgments. It is a little early maybe, but it is just applicable on this part. So we will first sing of Psalm 34 verse 3. Psalm 34 verse 3. "The angel of the Lord always encamps around all those who fear him and exalt his name, and God saves them from their woes." And what follows? Psalm 34 verse 3. So, beloved, we sing the angels always seek to glorify God, also by executing God's judgments. Yeah, and this concerns Sodom, for the cry of Sodom had waxen great before the face of the Lord. And that means that the cup of sin and iniquities had become full. It was the same as Nineveh, the city of Nineveh, the godly city of Nineveh. And Jonah, the prophet Jonah, had to go there to preach the judgment of the Lord, the punishment, that Nineveh would be destroyed. Yeah. But the iniquities had become full. So judgment couldn't be averted anymore. And then it is no use praying for them anymore. Even though Moses and Abraham were standing before the Lord's countenance. And I believe this judgment is going on in the Netherlands. Because the so-called reformed people accept homosexual person as a normal being. And there is no shame anymore about this terrible sin. Unnatural. And in our days, some people speak of a Christian gays. But that is impossible. There are no Christian gays. Because homosexuality stands in the framework of the principality of the devil. And all the real children of God are delivered from the authority and the power of the devil. And that is also written in the precious Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1. Homosexuality is a terrible sin, a natural sin. But still God answers Abram's prayer, we have said, for Abram prayed for Lot in Sodom. And that's why he thought that Sodom couldn't be destroyed. But Sodom had to be burned, but God could also preserve Lot without Sodom. Yeah. Yeah, in the example of Nineveh, there was, in God's counsel, there was grace for the Ninevites. But for Sodom, in God's counsel, there was punishment. God decided to be burned off Sodom and Gomorrah. And God's ways are always in the sanctuary. When God saves you, Sodom will perish. Yes, but I don't live in Sodom, someone says. No? Where do you live then? In Jerusalem? No, not there either. But in a very decent town, where nearly everybody go to church, as many as 3 times every Sunday, and also during the week. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the truth says, it shall be more terrible for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for thee. And that's what the Lord Jesus said to the orthodoxy, to the Pharisees and the scribes, because they didn't repent and return to the living God. Yeah. But what did Lot do? He invited the angels into his house, so that they could eat, wash, and pass the night there. And Lot had kept his practice of godliness, even though he lived in Sodom. God also keeps his people, mind you, also when they lived in a wicked city, in a wicked world. You can find it in Psalm 91, what we have sung together. But what did Lot do? He invited the angels in his house. Lot was granted to put in practice what we can read in Galatians 6, verse 10 As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And that what he saw in these men, use hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now Lot had it in practice. He was granted to have this in exercise also, for he entertained angels unaware. And add to this that his righteous soul was agonized day after day because of the gruesome iniquities of Sodom. Yeah, there are always people who say how badly Lot has strayed away from the right track. But may I ask you, have you a better way? Have you done better than Lot? Have you also a righteous soul like Lot? Have you also a soul that is agonized day by day because of the wickedness of your place, of your city, of your village, of your country? You may wish that you have a soul like Lot, for then your soul would be agonized also, even if you don't live in Sodom, literally. Hasn't home become Sodom of the West? No, you say Holland is Israel of the West. Oh, yeah. And that name we have given it, but you must first have lived in Sodom to be vexed because of the wickedness of the nation. And do you know, beloved, where Sodom lies? One says it was in Canaan, but it was destroyed. No, that wasn't the question. The question was, where is Sodom? Present tense. Don't you know? Just open your jacket and ask God to lay your heart bare. And then you know where Sodom is. And Lot knew this, mind you. He could tell exactly, but with pain in his soul. And somebody says, are you going to justify Lot now? No, we aren't. But Lot had been justified. And somebody says, are you going to gloss over Lot's sins? No, 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 not that either. But if you want to condemn Lot, then you find yourself in the dock too. Don't forget. For what with what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you again. And what will become of you now? Tell me. Will you end up as a good man? Will you end up as a converted man? And do you know what will be the end of it? Sodom, no more. Outside of Christ, it is all Sodom. Yeah. And Sodom must go. But then I'll go to another church. For I cannot hold out with thee. For this, you need not to go to another church, for there is it even worse. And all those reformed particularities, that is only man's work, remember. And the monks went into the monasteries, but isolation doesn't mean life. That ends up in sin. And do you know where Lot couldn't hold out? In the presence of the angels. When the Sodomites crowded round his house to commit the gruesome things of which the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 1 verse 27. Just read it. And in like manner the males also, leaving the natural use of the female, were inflamed in their lusts towards one another, males with males, working shame and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was fit. So homosexuality is a terrible sin. And Lot couldn't hold out there, for he was ashamed of the wickedness of Sodom. And do you know what he did? He shut the door behind himself. He was outside and he shut the door behind him. And he thought, I belong to the Sodomites, but not those godly men. They belong in the house. isolated from sin. And how noble of Lot was this, don't you think so? He shut himself out. Yeah. And nowadays we have a religion, they include themselves with God's people. But Lot shut himself out and expected to be thrown on the same heap as the Sodomites. Yeah. But now the wonder of free grace, who condemns himself, and that's what Lot did, will not be condemned, for who places himself outside will be placed inside by God. For God drew Lot inside. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. Yeah. Now there you have it again, and shut to the door. God shut to the door, just like with Noah, and Noah couldn't go outside when God shut the door of the ark. Lot couldn't go outside anymore either. And the angels smote, and then the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Yeah, when God shuts, who will open? Not a mortal. So Lot was not only saved out of Sodom, which we'll hear presently, but he was also saved in Sodom. Now, how can that be? Only because Christ had descended into hell. That's why Lot was saved in and out of that hell of Sodom. For God had loved Lot with an everlasting love. But not thanks to Lot, no. For after all, he had no business being in Sodom. That was altogether wrong. But the Lord saves and spares. He sends an invincible heavenly power in the figure of two angels. And they command Lot to bring his sons and daughters and all those he had in the city out of this place. This terrible place. Lot was not allowed to live there. No. And for they tell Lot that they have come to destroy the cities, the city, because the cry of them was waxen great before the face of the Lord. Yeah. Now Lot goes out to warn his relatives and tell them that the city will be destroyed. Lot become a preacher in Sodom. He became a preacher in Sodom. Yeah. Because Lot believes the words, the message of the angels, because they speak in the name of the Most High Majesty. And Lot feared his omniscience, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law, it says in Genesis 19, verse 14, read it. And they don't believe that God was going to destroy the city, for they cry, there was also a preaching there, peace, peace, no danger. That's also in our days, peace, peace, and there will be no danger. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Yeah, happy clappy. And that's true, huh? When you believe in the Lord Jesus, then you will be saved, for sure. But before faith, before regeneration, there will be darkness, judgment, punishment. Oh yeah. But the Sodomites were blinded. Judgment had already been executed in their hearts. And that was their own fault. They had their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, if that is the case, then there is no conversion anymore possible. No. And it will be terrible, but God's goodness and long-suffering is still revealed in judgment. They are still admonished and constrained to leave the city. How good God is, isn't he? For God is by no means obliged to do this, but he has them. He has them and us warned, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. But they didn't listen. No, they didn't listen. Lot's warnings were in vain, it looks like. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy daughters which are here, and lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. But it says, Lot lingered. Lot did believe that it was true what the man of God said, but he couldn't let go of what he had in Sodom. He wanted to think it over. Yeah. But then the Lord makes Lot willing to let go. For it says, the man laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him without the city. Yeah, when the Lord saves you, there is haste. Then is it today, for tomorrow will to be late. Tomorrow will be too late. And for when Lot has been taken outside the city, the angel said to him, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And that was the same text for the sermon of Jonathan Edwards in the framework of the Great Awakening in America. Hasten for thy life. Escape for thy life. And this doesn't hold true for Lot only. That holds true for all of us. For we need to hurry. The avenger of blood will kill us. If you are outside of the city of refuge. That is Christ. Or do you think that without Christ you are safe from God's wrath to come? Do you think so? Do you think that? The wrath to come, which may seize you, even today, and choose you this day, whom ye will serve. If the Lord is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. And Joshua said, As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, Lot said, we will serve the Lord. No, Lot didn't say that, for he didn't flee at once. And what is man, For do you know what Lot said? He said, Oh, not so, my Lord. Not yet. I want to wait sometime. Why wait? Lot had learned to know himself a little. He had learned to know himself as a man whom the Lord couldn't trust anymore. For fleeing to the mountains was impossible for him. He would never get there. For he feared that he would look back at Sodom against God's will. And then he would die. For Lot had obtained some self-knowledge in Sodom. He had seen the wickedness. And he had discovered that he also had such a heart, a wicked heart, and therefore he agonized his soul day by day. Yeah, because he has also a new heart. He was a new man in Christ, a new creation. And he never joined them in their evil ways. No, we must never accuse Lot of this, because in Sodom Lot had been made to realize what his deep fall in Adam had caused. And therefore he didn't trust his constancy, so that the mountains seem way too far to him, And he was afraid of falling into sin because he had sinned so much already. Yeah, he don't trust himself anymore. And after all the grace received, Lot thought little of the Lord. And that was the other side. For the Lord had said, escape to the mountain. No, said Lot, I cannot escape to the mountain. He requested to be allowed to flee to Zoar. It was a little village, a little city, a small town not far from Sodom, so that he would be in danger no longer, he thought. And he thought he knew better than the Lord. For God had shown him to the mountains, but Lot preferred Zoar. Now, however, the Lord answered Lot's prayer, for he says, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow the city for the which thou hast spoken. So God planned also to destroy Zoar. And Lot said, I will flee to Zoar. And the Lord gave him an answer. See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also. What is the Lord good for his people? If you insist with the Lord, you will sometimes get your way. But mark well, do I receive it in his favor? Lot has better to listen to the Lord. And the Lord allows Lot to flee to Zoar. But it was not his will. He allows. And that is an essential difference. Receiving something in his favor means that the divine approval is in it. God's blessing is in it. But receiving something because God allows me to have it means in his disfavor. And you may get it as an answer to prayer, but then you receive it like liquid gold, which cannot be handled. That will not give peace, but unrest, sadness and condemnation. We have to remember Lot's wife. So Lot fled to Zoar, and the Lord had promised him, I cannot do anything till thou become thither. And actually God listens to Lot, and Lot doesn't listen to God. And the Lord goes along with Lot a little distance to teach him the more clearly that one's own way is always a dead end. Yeah. Always a dead end. But the Lord goes along with Lot a little distance to Zoar to teach him the more clearly that his way is a dead way. For Lot cannot stay in Zoar either. Yeah. But more about it presently. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom, and when Lot reached Zoar, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire out of heaven. And the Lord will judge in righteousness. Sodom and Gomorrah are wiped off the earth through God's righteous judgment. But remember, beloved, our country is ready for the fire. Lot and his two daughters are preserved. God's people are preserved. And also his wife, isn't she? What Lot has feared for himself happened to his wife. For Lot's wife had left Sodom, that is true. But her heart was still in Sodom, and close to Zoar, she had looked back, in spite of God's warning, look not behind thee. That was God's command. But she had done it anyway, and at once she became a pillar of salt. That was God's punishment. She became a pillar of salt. And beloved, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Leaving sin, leaving Sodom is a good thing. But has sin left us? Or have we forsaken all kinds of things for fear of punishment? Or have he forsaken sin because God is worth and loving him above all in an unfeigned way? Outside the world, but not in Christ. Outside Sodom, but not in Zoar. Examine yourself closely. Have a good look once more. Have I a true faith? Am I owned by the faithful Savior? That is the point. Remember Lot's wife. One can get far. Seeming and being are so close to each other. And do you know who get the most strife at it? God's true people. For when David has to flee from Saul, he fears to perish one day through the hand of the infernal Saul. And Saul will never give grace. No. Saul will never give grace. And people of God, it would be the greatest grace if our hypocrisy were revealed before God's countenance this side of the grave. For we are dissimulation in our heart of hearts. We are too good to be bad. That's the point. That's always the point. We are too good to be bad. Too good to be hypocrites. But that is what we are. Walk before me and be thou perfect. That's what God had spoken to Abram. But what could Abram say of himself? I'm upright. Oh no, beloved. But Abram did say, God is faithful. The fountain of all good, of all life. And Lot has also found out that God was faithful when he was shown to the mountains for his preservation. For in Zoar he was not safe either. But he had chosen Zoar himself, hadn't he? And the reason why he was not safe in Zoar cannot be said with certainty. God's word doesn't tell us, but it does say that Lot feared to dwell in Zoar. Probably Zoar was very much the same as Sodom and Gomorrah. But we won't go into that. So Lot went up out of Zoar and lived in the wilderness, in the mountains. Yeah. And his two daughters with him. He dwelt in the cave. In the cave. Yeah. That was his house, the cave. And then things went terribly wrong again. Again? Yeah, again. And Lot came to grief, for his daughters committed incest with him. It was also a horrible sin. Lot had left the terrible city of Sodom because of the terrible homosexuality that reached the heaven. And God destroyed that wicked city. And now, yeah, his two daughters committed incest with him. And they set him drunk and lay with him, for they said that we may preserve seed from our father. And what is man, and what can be praised in him? But what the devil thought evil is using Lot's daughters for such heinous sin, God meant unto good. Pardon? Meant unto good. But what was it then? What good could be said of Lot's family? Now of Lot's family not much good could be said anymore, but of God's ways it could, for they are in the sanctuary. That can only be understood by faith. Yeah. You know, our carnal nature cannot make a distinction between God's ways and between sinful ways. No. Only faith understand a little of it. Lot had not committed incest with his daughters. That we would say in the first place. We must never accuse Lot of this. God keeps his children from doing so. For we read nowhere in the scripture that a child of God commits that horrible sin. For it says in verse 35, you can read it in Genesis, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. So, Lot committed that sin unconsciously. It was incest, just like with Judah and Tamar, but he didn't it unwittingly. And I don't believe either that the daughters of Lot lay down with their father for their fleshly lusts. No. Oh no! They wanted to be pregnant of their father to bear Christ. Do you hear me? Like all the Old Testament women wanted to bear. But do you know who has been born from that seed of Lot? Do you know it? Moab, for instance. The Moabites. But they were heathens. But they were heathen. That's true. And do you know who was such a heathen? That was Ruth. Ruth the Moabite. Yeah. Ruth the Moabite. And who was born from Ruth? Now tell me. Obed. Good. And who did Obed beget? Jesse. And Jesse begat David. And who was born from David's generation? Nobody but the Lord Jesus himself. Now you can understand that. Can you understand that, beloved? I can understand that with my brains. No. I cannot understand that. But it is the truth. It's the truth. The Lord Jesus himself was born out of David's generation, of Jesse's generation, of Obed's generation, of Ruth's generation. And that is an eternal, incomprehensible wonder, isn't it? If I want to grasp that wonder, my understanding stops, respectfully. O God, most holy are thy ways, and who like thee deserves my praise. Thou only dost wondrous things, the whole wide world thy glory sings. Amen. Let us finish by singing Psalm 111, the stanzas 1 and 2. 111, the stanzas 1 and 2. Praised be the Lord, I shall impart my thanks to him with all my heart among the righteous congregation. Great are the doings of the Lord, and all to whom they joy afford will study them with dedication. The stanzas 2 and 1 and 2, Psalm 111. Lord, we have heard about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. But we are, as country, as nation, we are also ready for the fire. Because we have sinned against thee, O Lord, terrible sins with terrible laws, and the reformed churches are no witness anymore. Only behind their own, in their own churches, in their own pulpit, but not in public. O Lord, give us a revival. Give us a revival. Revive thy people. We thank thee for thy word. And let it be to our salvation, because we are no better than Lot, and that we may become the worse. For there is righteousness for the worse. And Lot was justified in spite of his sin, because the Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross for Lot and for all his children. O Lord, we pray for a revival, a real revival, not a revival of man, but by the Holy Spirit. Be with us in the coming week. Let us lead us in thy ways, and be with us all the days of our life, as thou hast said to thy real children, and lo, I'll be with you all the days, even unto the end of the world. O Lord, we lived in the end times. That is for sure. And all the nations are gathered together against thy people, especially against the Jews. O Lord, be with the Jews and give them true conversion. Bring them down on their knees to cry for forgiveness, to cry that they have crucified the Lord Jesus. And we with them, O Lord, we have stand there. And we are the same wicked people as Sodom and Gomorrah. O Lord, as nation, we have sinned against thee. So terrible, but there is no public witnesses. O Lord, let us return to thee. Also, when it must go to judgment, to punishment. O Lord, we are no more worthy than that. But remember us in thy judgment, in Christ, because he was in the judgment. He was descended into hell instead of his people. O Lord, deliver us from sin, deliver us from ourselves, and that we may come to thee on our knees, flat on the ground. O Lord, give us reconciliation, because there is reconciliation. There is reconciliation. Christ gave his life as a sacrifice for what we have sinned. O Lord, he gave his life. He gave his life. But also in present tense, he gave an application of salvation to a lost sinner. He has no life in himself anymore, who must condemn himself like the murderer on the cross, who accept his judgment. Lord, that he may come to sign our punishment, to accept our judgment, to accept our punishment. That's the way. And that's the way that thou have revealed in thy word, to go through the narrow gate. It is a so narrow gate, only dead people can go through. And in the gate, thou make them alive. Lord, make us alive in Christ, so that we lost our carnal nature, our carnal old man. He must die. Because Christ is alive, is resurrected from the dead, and that we may live in him forever and ever, be with thy people around the world. Be with the widows and the orphans. Be with the sick and the afflicted. O Lord, be with our children in this terrible world. But that they may become guilty as a lost prodigal son or prodigal daughter, to return to thee, to may find grace in thy eyes. We pray thee for Jesus' sake, his sake only. Amen. Spirit's favor rest upon us from above. Amen.